Horowitz publishing a document of recommendations for the Biden administration about what is to be done about the suspect nuclear weapons program in Iran and so much more. The brutality towards the Iranian people protesting in the street, the collusion with China, the collusion with Russia, and certainly the threat to world peace right now. Specific recommendations, though, are fresh. And what I learned from this document is what is not happening. It's a revelation to learn, for example, that there's not, what do we call this, or a Iran czar at the NSC? That now doesn't exist. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's our view that the National Security Council needs to take charge of this issue and do it in a coordinated, comprehensive way. Rob Malley has been leading this issue from the State Department. Malley's approach seems to be negotiations without any credible military threat. And it's been 2 years now, and it seems to me that his approach has turned out to be ineffective, and it's time for a change, time to put the White House in charge of this and to take a very different approach.
Yes, and titles are important in the executive branch, I learned over the years. A deputy assistant for Iran. And now we get to the specific details about how to do this. Sanctions are in place, but I learned that oil sanctions are of a particular interest. Who is handling them now? Because you recommend, I believe, Ord, that you want that in the portfolio of the NSC.
Yeah, we recommend that the U.S. much more vigorously enforce current economic sanctions. Right now, the sanctions issues are being handled by the State Department. The State Department, I mean, God bless them. That's where I worked for 10 years. But their tendency is to try and make friends. And every time they see a sanctions with a potential exception, they like to make an exception in order to, make friends. It seems to me that the time is now to crack down on Chinese and other trade with Iran. They're also, in addition, frankly, the UAE is serving as a kind of transshipment destination. The time is now to crack down. Stop using sanctions waivers as an opportunity to do favors, but instead implement these sanctions and get the job done with regard to Iran.
Detail. We talked about China, but I'm learning that China's trade with Iran is so extensive, and there are so many possibilities of waivers being introduced if the State Department moves against China. Or what I've learned about the Ukraine war may or may not be relevant here, so I just want to repeat my understanding. Chinese enterprises, which you would understand Russia could use for cutouts, for ordering the technology it needs, like fixing iPhones or maintaining their automobile production line. Chinese cutouts are fearful of secondary sanctions. Is that going to apply to this as well? And exactly how would it work? What are secondary sanctions? What would they do to Chinese companies trading with Tehran?
Sure. A secondary sanction means that if you are a Chinese company that does business with Iran and we catch you doing it, we can exclude you from the U.S. market. And for many Chinese companies, if not almost all Chinese companies, the U.S. market is much more important to them than is the Iranian market. So this is a very powerful tool, and the U.S. has for decades now, not cracked down in a particularly aggressive way using secondary sanctions against the Chinese. The war with Ukraine is relatively new, and the U.S. is being quite aggressive in terms of imposing sanctions there. I think PRC companies probably think, wow, it's been two decades vis-a-vis Iran, and the U.S. has never really aggressively used secondary sanctions. They're not going to start now with regard to the fresher Russia-Ukraine war, they have more fear. But it seems to me that we need to be cracking down on Chinese trade with both the Putin regime and the regime in Iran.
Implicit in your argument is that there are sanctions that can be used that are not being used. It occurred to me listening to you, Ward, that this is a strange version of clientitis. You know, you're in charge of visiting sanctions on an enemy country, but you take it easy on them because of this or that. Is that what waivers are? You take it easy?
Yeah, that you're, the law says, Congress says that you are the State Department, the Department of the Treasury is supposed to impose sanctions on Chinese companies that do X or Y or Z, or UAE companies that do X or Y or Z, except if the president finds that, you know, in the national security interest of the United States, there should be a waiver. And those waivers are meant by Congress to occur only in very rare circumstances, and they occur much more often than they should. Not only are the waivers implemented, but too often it seems to me that the State Department and the Treasury look the other way with regard to secondary sanctions that they should be imposing. They just never even get to the waiver stage because they don't prioritize it. They don't dig deep enough to see the violations.
Let's go to Treasury, because the NSC is implies that it has a military wing. That is not true at Treasury. And I learned that Treasury is targeting the IRGC. That's the terror organization, the state within the state. And it has lots of entities worldwide, and it trades with lots of people through cutouts. The Treasury is aware of this, or needs to make itself aware of the fact that they're being laughed at in Tehran with all these cutouts. Which is it, Hort?
Well, it seems to me that Treasury needs to do more. We have a number of recommendations here for how Treasury should crack down not only on the IRGC, but also the terrorist groups that the IRGC supports, such as Hezbollah, Hamas, and others. In addition to Treasury being more rigorous and diligent, we also recommend that the U.S. government urge its allies to do more. For example, we recommend the U.S. government urge the EU, UK, Canada, and Australia to designate the IRGC as a terrorist organization. It's good to see the UK is reportedly on the brink of doing so, but the others need to follow suit as well. Sanctions tend to be more effective if they are multilateral rather than unilateral, if we get our allies to join in and not just the U.S.
We have about a minute, Professor. Your general recommendation, because this is a fresh document, if the Biden administration and the new Congress take this document up, will Iran pay attention? Because right now, these things not happening, there's no reason for Iran not to carry on.
Look, we know from past experience that Iran will come to the negotiating table if it's squeezed hard enough. That was the lesson of the Bush administration and early Obama administration financial sanctions on Iran. Eventually, the Iranians came to the negotiating table and they were willing to cut a deal. It wasn't a very good deal. It seems to me we should have held out for more, but that was a sign they are willing to negotiate if there's enough pressure on them. And right now, there's neither enough pressure on the Iranians, it seems to me, to force them to the table, nor is there enough pressure on them to force them to make concessions to the protesters.
Ord Khitri of Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, the title of the document, Strategy for a New Comprehensive U.S. Policy on Iran. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.